We can't have this kind of behavior in our house.
What? It's crap. I did everything you two asked me to do.
Brent, the way you're acting now proves that this isn't going to work. We can't have this around Emmett.
You know what? You two are just trying to keep me away from my brother.
Hey,
come on, what are you going to do?
Brent,
settle down!
Hey guys, welcome to Let Me Talk Podcast, Season 2, Episode 24. Today's guest, Texas Waddiston, is an actor and model. He's here today to talk about his role as Brent in Neighbours and what it was like preparing to work on the longest running TV show in Australia. Without giving anything else away, let's get into this episode. Hey Texas, thank you so much for coming on Let Me Talk Podcast today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Yes. How are you? How is life since COVID? What have you been up to?
Just working, really. Keeping busy any way I can.
That's all.
Auditioning.
Yeah. Like every actor. Just being an actor.
Just being an actor. Working like crazy and auditioning, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. So we start off with a rapid fire every episode. So I was wondering if you would be keen to start off with that.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
Awesome. So the first one is, who is the actor that's inspired you the most?
Marlon Brando or James Dean?
Oh, I love that. Do you have any reasons why?
I feel like a lot of actors don't work with their eyes a lot. And watching them work, just looking into their eyes, you can tell a lot more about what they're thinking. While some actors just kind of don't use that aspect during acting. So, yeah, I think those are the two people that really inspired me as an actor.
Yeah, I love that. Drama or comedy? And this can be like what you like to watch or what you prefer to be in.
For me, it's definitely drama. Like if I were to be for a role, it would be a drama. I find comedy quite hard as well.
Yeah,
I don't know if that sounds surprising, but like for an audition, like you gotta be really precise, or for a role you gotta be super precise on the delivery and whatnot. So
yeah, it's super technical.
Yeah, it's a drama.
Yeah,
definitely.
I love that. Indie or blockbuster?
Depends.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard one. Both.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
I guess it depends on the movie as well.
Yeah, it depends on the movie and the script and, you know, it all comes into play.
Yeah, 100%. And the last one is, when are you most inspired?
When am I most inspired? When I see other people around me doing well or working, that's what really inspires me.
Yeah.
Or if people have new ideas or just about anything, it could be about anything, that really inspires me.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good answer. I really like that other people kind of inspire you to do better as well. Like you see other people and you're like, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
Get you in the mood, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's definitely a driving point in how I work as well.
So. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. Well, I want to start off with just asking you how you got into the industry. Like I know you've done modeling from quite a young age as well, so did it kind of come hand in hand together, or did you kind of start off in one and then gain interest in the other? Like how did it all start out for you?
Acting definitely started first. So that was something that I was really interested in at a young age. Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching, you know, Pulp Fiction at the age of 13, 12. You know, or like all these, you know, heavy films, heavy dramas.
Just getting straight into it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like those were the films that I was quite interested in at a young age.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad was pretty much like, you know, when you're 13, you get asked, oh, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to be?
Yes,
I was like, oh, an actor. Yeah. So, yeah, all right, sure. So we kind of just did our own research.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I ended up getting an agent. Well, I ended up doing a short film first, and that's where I met a friend of mine who was at the agency that I'm at the moment.
Yeah, wow. So you've had the agency for like since you were young, like quite a
yeah. long. Well, awesome. they at that point they didn't have any younger people on their books. It was all adults. So
wow. Look at you though, just getting in with all the adults. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was very surprised that my agent here, JM Agency, are fantastic. They're really hardworking, and you know they don't have a lot of people on their books, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, because they can just you know focus on the you know the actors, where a lot of agencies don't. They have hundreds of
people, that they have, rather than having like pages and pages of like actors and not able to like kind of tailored to people's like what they need, and also like focusing on I feel like if you have a small agency, you can focus on your actors more in the sense of what they're being submitted for and like just the people that they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, actually, not small in the aspect, but small on the books, like as in, you know, cutting down on how many people they have. Only having a certain amount of people because, you know, those people either, you know, they believe in those people that they are going to do well and they trust in them and, you know, want to put 110% of their effort into everyone on there instead of just neglecting people and making you feel terrible, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, which I like. But, yeah, so that's kind of how I really got started. I kept doing some short films, and then, yeah, that's when kind of modelling came into it.
Yeah, awesome. And what have you found, like, the differences are? Like, do you find modelling's a lot easier or, like...
I mean, they're both.
Do you like doing both, or which one do you prefer more? Probably acting, right?
Yeah, well, acting is my passion. Like, I would love to do that full time if I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're both totally different things. Like, I love, you know, modeling. Like, I love both of them, but
yeah,
acting's definitely my passion.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of like modeling gigs growing up, or was it more?
Yeah, like I had a decent amount of modeling jobs when I was growing up. Like, I did a couple of things for Seed, Heritage, Roadhouse magazine. I was in an issue of GQ magazine at one point.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so I've done a little bit of modeling, but at that point I was still quite young, so I was in the development stage.
Yeah.
So I wasn't getting, you know, work left, right and center, which I'm happy about because, you know, I want to be known as an actor.
Yeah, not a model. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean,
yeah, and I want to be taken seriously as an actor as well. Like, not saying modeling and then going into acting, you're not taken seriously, but, you know, some people go, oh, okay, he's a model actor. He's, you know, nothing's going to happen there.
Yeah, it kind of has that. It has that little bit of a like stigma against it, like which is so weird. It's kind of the same about like, I mean, if you're a singer, like you can't really be an actor, which is so like not true. Like, I feel like, you know, if you put the hard work and if you train and if you do just as much as what like an actor would do, coming from like, if you're, you know what I mean, you can do it. You can do both. Like, I hate that stigma where it's like, oh no, like, sorry, if you're a singer, you can't do this. Or if you're a model, you can't do this, or like vice versa. I just think the stigma, like, especially in Australia, is kind of like that, because I just don't think I don't know. I don't want to even be offensive to our country. I'm just like, it's just a bit like, I don't think they see it as people can be multiple things. And I think it's getting better, but I think it's really hard to see for people to be like, okay, you know, to see people as something else and what they came in with. So if, like, if they're a singer, I feel like everyone can try different things, you know. It doesn't mean.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're doing one, you can't do the other. But I do think that, like, they need to train. Like, I hate seeing, like, I don't want to be mean, but, like, I hate seeing, like, reality TV stars or whatever not training but getting roles straight away, like, as actors. That, like, really annoys me because I'm like, well, you have all these actors that are Australian that are, like, working their asses off, like, training, and then the roles get taken.
Mm.
Like, someone yeah. that hasn't really.
I agree with you.
I don't know yeah. if you agree, but, like, that's just kind of, like, how, like, I don't know, that's just, you know, and I'm not saying a reality TV star can't be an actor, but I just feel like it should be on the, like, an equal playing field in the sense that they have to train as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. yeah. But it's, like, it's awesome to see what you've been up to because, like, I've been following you on Insta for a while, but I just yeah, I just feel like you definitely are a serious actor. Like, I loved your work. I watched Neighbours, like, when you were on it as well, just to, like, just to see a different, oh, I don't even know. Like, you were just so, like, it looked like you put a lot of effort into getting your character, like, to the point where he got to, like, at the end as well. Like, the arc just seemed really cool. Like, even though it was not like a regular role, I just feel like you made, like, a huge impact with the character, and I just wanted to know, like, what was that like? What was the experience like on Neighbours? Just so, like, anyone that's kind of, you know, I mean, a lot of Australian actors kind of go on Neighbours or Home and Away, and it's interesting to hear what the audition process was like and, like, what character work and what you thought of Brent's arc.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, thanks for the kind words.
No worries.
Yeah, so talk about the audition process first. So that I auditioned 6 times before for different roles in Neighbours. Didn't get a single one of them. Then I went to America briefly, and then I came back, and then I auditioned again for Neighbours. And I thought I bottled my audition. And then I think a couple of days later, I ended up getting the role.
Yeah.
And I was only supposed to be on for about 8 episodes. Mm. So I ended up doing my 8 episodes. Love that. The cast and crew, fantastic. They are the loveliest people ever. I still talk to the majority of them now. So
yeah, that's
awesome. Yeah, we're all good friends. And then they asked me to come back and for about 40 episodes. So
yeah, that's so cool. And did you want to just explain to the audience, like, what, who Brent is? Cause just in case people didn't.
Yeah, sure.
Stuff like that. Yeah. In case they didn't watch Neighbours, like, totally rude, but, like,
yeah. So Brent is, he's pretty much, he's known in Erinsborough, which is a town in Neighbours, as the, you know, the degenerate kind of bad boy. He's, you know, he's been homeless. He doesn't know his father. His mum's not around. You know, just kind of that type of character. But deep down, he's, you know, he's got a lot going for him, and he just needs that push from somebody. It could be, you know, anyone. And he gets that from Aaron and David, this, you know, couple that are taking in foster children. And that's when Brent and Emmett, Brent's little brother, kind of come into the story.
So
40 episodes come along, and I know just from talking to the producers and writers and stuff that he's homeless and he's not well. and yeah, he's just not in the right headspace. So that's when I realized that I needed to do a drastic change of how I looked. So yeah, I lost 10 kilograms in a month and a bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was...
Is that hard or, like, were you just, like, motivated to do it because you're like, all right, 40 episodes, let's do this?
Yeah, well, it was a weird one. So I was 70 kilograms down to 60. So I was on a keto diet. which is not healthy.
Oh my God, that diet, like, I've tried to do that and I'm just like, there's too, like, because it's just high, like, going off topic, but because it's like high protein, I'm like, I'm so overeating like chicken.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't eat any sugars or dairy products, so
yeah, nothing, it's all like meat based. It's high in protein, isn't it?
But it's
like
very high in protein. You can have vegetables, you can have fruit, but not a lot of fruit because that's got sugars in it.
Oh God.
Yeah, so it was pretty gnarly, and I was going to the gym every day, twice a day.
Did you have to do it to look like malnourished, like just because brain homeless? Did you have to look kind of sick?
Yeah, well, I wanted, like the neighbors, producers and stuff, they never said for me to go down on my weight or anything. That was just my choice on how I wanted to kind of play the character and make it seem realistic enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of my plan with it all, is kind of see how far I can go and just kind of see where it takes me, because I was running, you know, like 25K a day.
Oh my God.
And, you know, just doing what I can to, you know,
to add
just
to the
lose
car.
That, just lose that body fat. And yeah, like at one point I was looking too skinny, but yeah, just kind of seeing.
But that also sells the character. Like it actually sells that you, like, you look homeless, like it's
yeah,
and that adds to, like, what, you know, what you can bring to the table with the character.
Yeah, and what, you know, what I say, like what I say on set and, you know, in the scene,
yeah,
you know, really matters. Like, instead of just saying oh yeah, he's, you know, he's homeless, you know, he doesn't look like he's, you know, been without food or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm not calling myself a method actor because I'm not.
yeah, I feel like that's not method. You're just literally like,
yeah,
getting the character, like just prepping before you're going to like step into the character's shoes. And
yeah, and that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to see, you know, how far, you know, my body can kind of push itself. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so what, did you do much research about, like, foster, what it's like living in the foster care system, like in Australia specifically, or like
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't do too much because my character, he's 18 at the point, so he didn't he was out of foster care.
Yeah.
So I didn't really do too much research on it. I know Ezra, who plays Emmett, I think he did a lot of research about the foster system and foster care. But yeah, that was kind of one thing I looked into, as well as, you know, the homeless system. And
yeah, of course. And what was, like, what was your, from like doing 8 episodes, then coming back and doing like 40 something episodes, was the workload for you like easy to take on, or was it like something that you needed to like adjust to, like with how they kind of shoot and things like that? Cause I know they do like location and like in studio, pretty sure, like when I was doing my internship there, they do like one a week, like studio and location. Like, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I can't really remember, but like hard for you to adjust to that, or was it quite like easy? Like, had you had many other jobs that were like on professional sets, or was this like your first kind of?
So adjusting to everything, it's tough. I mean, Neighbours is one of the hardest Australian, it is the hardest Australian TV show to work on, really, because of how fast-paced everything is. So most of the time you're doing between 6 to 12 scenes a day.
Yeah.
And they're massive scenes, so it's really tough, but, you know, it always keeps you on your toes, and, yeah, it's good fun.
And did you find it was a really good, like, kind of stepping stone from doing, like, short films to then, like, being on this, like, you know, major, like, TV show? Did you find that it was good for you, and, like, if you were offered, like, a regular gig on, like, I mean, on Neighbours or Home and Away, would you take it, or do you kind of want to, like, go to America now and experience that?
Before Neighbours, I was on other movies and TV shows. So it was kind of...
But was this, like, your main, like, your kind of...
Yeah, this was one of the biggest ones.
You were on the Lost Nowhere Boys as well.
Nowhere Boys.
And that was that was pretty popular and...
Yeah, but Neighbours is definitely the biggest one I did. If I were to offer a full-time gig, maybe. I'm not too sure.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, beat the character to death, per se, you know, because I'm kind of happy where the story ended.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if they want to add something that we both kind of like, sure, I'll go back and, you know, film. I definitely want to work in America. That's the main place where I want to be.
What was it like working with, like, Stefan Dennis? Because he's, like, obviously, like, iconic for Neighbours, and you worked quite a lot with him. So how was that? Like, did he help you, like, give you any advice, or was it just awesome getting to play alongside him?
Yeah, I mean, working with Stefan was fantastic. You know, he's such a really down-to-earth and lovely bloke. He's just a regular dude, really. You know, he likes motorcycles and, you know, just a bunch of other things. So he's, you know, such a lovely guy, and working on set with him was fantastic. You know, you learn a lot from just watching him work. And that's why I kind of liked, you know, being on set with him so much, because you can just learn, you know, everything without him actually saying a word to you. So, he's a really good actor and fantastic guy. So it was lovely to work with him.
Yeah, and I guess, like, your character, like, Brent, you know, it must have been good, like, just getting to be, like, on the bad side of him. I feel like his character is so bloody... It's crazy how, like, evil his character is, and, like, it would be, like, pretty juicy just to, like, work with him and, like, get to just do, like, mean stuff, I guess, and be, like, kind of be his match and not, like, your character didn't let him, like, pretty much, like, walk all over him. So it was awesome to see that you got to work.
Walk all over him, yeah.
Yeah, like, you got to work like your character being, like, a real victim to him, which I guess that's how it started, but, like, the way it ended was awesome. And I think the character arc that you had would have been so good just to play with, because you got to, you know, you got to start with him one way and then end with him in a really good place, which was awesome.
Yeah, no, like, playing Brent and having that, you know, Brent's, you know, fire in his belly, and same as Stefan, like, they both have different views, but they're such strong characters.
Yeah, 100%.
Great.
Awesome. Well, it's just so good to see that, like, you're so young, but you're getting all these roles and you're really, like, progressing forward in the industry. And I feel like, yeah, there's only so much more, like, to come, and it's going to be awesome to see where you go from here. But I just wanted to get to the point that we do with every episode, and we do an awareness section. So I was just wondering what you'd like to raise awareness to today, and what you have to say on something that people might not know much about.
The kind of cause that I'd like to talk about is a cause that's kind of deep to my heart. It's called the CRBF Foundation.
Yep.
And their kind of job is to kind of change the current trajectory for young sarcoma patients. So sarcoma is pretty much a very rare form of cancer.
Yeah.
And the aim of the foundation is to fund clinical research to find a cure for it, while also raising awareness of it, of the sarcoma in, you know, the community, and also in an effort to promote early diagnosis and to provide support for patients and also their families. So that's kind of a big cause deep in my heart. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And have you been, like, touched by it personally, by, like, a family member or a friend, like, that's had...
My mum had a soft tissue sarcoma and she passed away 2 years ago. So that's why it's so, you know, it's big for me. And I've spoken to the CRBF Foundation a lot. So, and kind of said, oh, what can I do to kind of help?
Yeah.
So I talked to the founder of it a lot and we just kind of get to chatting and they're great people and what they're doing is fantastic, and it needs to, you know, the awareness needs to be raised. So
yeah, 100%. And I just think, like, there's you know, cancer affects so many people and so many, like, friends and family, but there's so many different types of cancers, and, you know, of course people wouldn't know, you know, all of them and know much about them, but it's so important to, like, research them and know, like, what to look out for. I just think sometimes, you know, my grandma just almost a year ago now, like, passed away from ovarian cancer, and, like, there's so much that you can learn about these things, but, you know, it's hard when you don't know about them. And I mean, ovarian cancer is not easily detectable either, which is kind of, you know, that's kind of where you get in trouble with that one, because you can't easily detect it. So by the time the person gets diagnosed, a lot of the time women are in stage four, and that's so hard to come back from. And I just think, yeah, it's so important to raise awareness to things like cancer and just be really, like, oh my god, just, you know, just really be mindful with your body and kind of get in touch with your body, so then if something's unusual, like, don't just ignore it.
Get it checked.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's so important, like, what you're raising awareness to. And it freaking sucks because you lose your family. You know what I mean? You lose family members, and it's hard, and it must be hard for you, like, doing all these, like, amazing things, and, like, your mum not being able to, you know,
it's
like a stupid disease, which absolutely sucks. And it must have been hard for you to, like, go through that, like, at a young age too. So it's really amazing that you've come on here today and raise awareness to that, and that's why I have this section, because, you know, we can talk about all the things, like, acting, your career and everything like that, and there's so much to take away from that as well, because, you know, just the way you trained and the way you created Brent, like, that's important 100% for actors to know, and anyone that's wanting to be in the industry or is currently, like, working on a character for a TV show. But I think it's just as important for someone to take away, like, something as important as cancer and what it, you know, what you need to know and what you should know about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like if you're passionate about something, you know, talk about it. So, yeah. The CRBF Foundation are a really good group of people. So,
Yeah, yeah. People can just go on their website as well and read out.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the Cooper Rice Bradley Foundation, so the CRBF Foundation. And, yeah, if you – I mean, I think you may be able to donate on the website. I mean, you don't have to if you just want to kind of look at it and, you know, see what they're about and who they are, you know, be more than welcome to go over there and check it out. So
exactly. And it makes a difference. Like, even if you don't donate, like if you just read about it and then tell someone else about it.
Like, exactly. Yeah. That's the, you know, the best thing you can do is just kind of spread awareness.
Exactly. And just know that, like, one extra person is going to hear this, or if you tell someone, it's just like a chain that follows. Like, people will tell people, and then, you know, it limits the amount of deaths that come from cancer. I feel like if there's just one person that knows and they have a symptom of it, they actually go and get checked, and, you know, they get it at an early detection, which is super important when it comes to cancer, I feel. So yeah, like, it's amazing that you've come on here and raise awareness to this today, and yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss as well.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I'm sorry for your loss as well. It's a, you know, it's a tough thing, but yeah, I mean,
it is. And I'm sure your mom is like beyond proud of you. I mean, what you've done, like, just your career so far, and even, you know, I'm sure that when people have, like, if there's people that have watched Neighbours and like your character and your arc that you had on Neighbours, I'm sure they would have been affected by that too, because even like foster care, homelessness, like, that's also important. And I feel like what you're doing and the roles that you're taking is, yeah, they mean something, and they like hold up with people that need that, you know, to comfort for them, because I'm sure that anyone that's in the foster care system or is homeless, like, and they watch that, or they could get to watch that, they would pretty much sympathize with what your character's going through and understand and know that, you know, they're being represented on screen. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I got, you know, really lucky with, you know, my character, and I'm super grateful for it, and the story that I was given as well was quite strong. So yeah, no, I was just super lucky.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I wish you all the best of luck in your career in Australia and in America. And, yeah, you deserve everything that comes your way. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I've had a great time, so thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find us on whatever podcast platform you use. And whilst you're there, please leave us a comment, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.